it's special for me to be here. It kind of feels a little strange. But I do know a few people here. We have become acquainted with David and Ruth Swigert through the Amish Mennonite Heritage Center project, and have been friends with Linford and Lisa for some years. And yeah, then there's even somebody else that I recognize tonight. So my daughter Rose and her husband Lamar and the boys kind of surprised me. So yes, I count it a privilege to be here this evening. Was assigned the subject of anchors in the journey of grief. So how does one find peace or relief when you're feeling deep grief? How does one find peace? I think that's the aim or the goal for this evening. And we will be looking at a psalm, Psalm 13. You may want to open your Bibles to there. And we'll be looking at that psalm. Now, grief is an intense emotional suffering caused by loss. Okay, and I tried to simplify the meaning of grief, having gone through it. And, you know, I'm thinking that we all experience grief sometime or another. It's emotional suffering caused by loss. And it's grief can be a weight, just a heaviness, that you find yourself learning to carry. Because sometimes grief just doesn't go away overnight. Grief is an inevitable consequence of life. Something everyone experiences because of the fall. Death in itself is not an unusual thing. And that's not a new thought, right? We all know of parting with loved ones, people we know that died. I'm amazed at, in my travels sometimes, and even local, all of a sudden you'll come to a place where there's a large graveyard, gravestones by the hundreds. Death is not a new thing. And death, I would think, always causes grief to someone. It's a loss. So grief is inevitable consequence of our being here. Now, Scripture admonishes us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, and to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. So I don't know where you're at here this evening. We have children, we have young people, we have middle-aged. I'm not sure if I'm seeing the elderly. I don't know who to call elderly. But we go through seasons in life. Sometimes it's good seasons, and other times it's heavy seasons. So how do we find peace and relief in the heavy times? And I think that's my assignment to address that. Job says, and I just got finished reading through Job, and it's quite an account of a man that experienced tremendous grief. Can you imagine not just losing your marriage partner, but all your children and all your possessions, and just like that? tremendous grief. Well, he says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Okay, now that's the grief part. We don't expect to live in such grief all our lives, but there will be times that we will experience grief. John says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Oh, John, it's in John, but Jesus said this. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So now we're touching on the hope that we have that actually helps us endure grief. So while the hope we have in Christ gives us comfort and joy, it doesn't make us immune to grief when trouble hits. Okay, so we have this hope, but it helps us through a tremendous amount of grief and disappointments and loss that we might experience in this life. I found that many psalms offer instructive teaching for us when we're in dark times. And I find that in Psalm 13. Now, my journey, you know, I could take maybe 15 minutes to a half an hour of precious time and tell you about my journey. And I might allude to that somewhat through the message. That's not my aim tonight. I will say that I lost my wife. I like to say she passed from this life to the next almost 6 years ago. And the grief, the loss that I felt after she wasn't here was the heaviest grief I ever experienced in life. But there are some keys to finding peace and relief when you experience a loss. And I know with Linford and Lisa and with Kendrick, was that his name? Yeah. Tremendous shock and loss. Yeah. And it would be interesting to hear your testimony at the end of the message, what you found as a way to find relief, a way to find peace in the midst of heavy grief. So Psalm 13, I'll just kind of give you the outline here. notice it has six verses. Okay, let me say this. The nature of David's circumstances here isn't described. But let me read the first two verses. David is saying, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Do you notice? Three times he says, how long? So this wasn't just an overnight grief. This wasn't just something he got over quickly. He's asking not only why, he's asking how long is this going to be? So the nature of David's circumstances here aren't described for us. We don't know what was happening because he doesn't identify the issues. Obviously, it was some kind of depression or discouragement or despair that was causing deep sorrow. So I trust that whether our grief, our sorrow, our experiences are little or great, I think it's Maybe it's wise that it's not stated what his problem was, because now we can identify with it in some way and apply it to ourselves. But it seems like he was wrestling with what it means to surrender, what it means to trust God in the middle of grief. So let's just kind of look at this. The first two verses, it's his condition. How long? How long? And then verses 3 and 4 switches to his cry, or I like to say his prayer. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I'm moved. So that's excuse me. So the first two verses would be his condition, and the second two would be his cry, verses 3 and 4. And then 5 and 6 are his consolation or his comfort. In trouble, pray and find relief. 5 and 6, I'll read them. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So let's look at the condition, or consider his condition. 3 times, how long? You know, the nights get pretty long sometimes when you're experiencing sorrow or grief. And sometimes, in my experience, it was like, will I ever pull out of this grief, this loss? I don't know that I ever really felt like God has forgotten me, but I would maybe spend plenty of time wondering why and how long this heavy feeling. So, yeah, to feel forgotten and rejected by people, does anybody ever feel like a little bit of grief because it seems like your friends aren't paying attention to you or something? Excuse me. Well, that's one thing, to be rejected by people. But I think what David was feeling is that he was feeling rejected by God. Where do you turn then? So he was, just expressing himself here. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? We have something similar in Isaiah 49, and I'd like to just refer to that. Isaiah 49, verses 14, 15, and 16. And here, Zion was saying, the Lord hath forsaken us. I'll read these verses. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. And I found that one of the things that really helps when we're experiencing grief and loss, and the nights seem long, and it seems like, where is God? I think one of the keys is to turn to passages like this and just kind of realize that, well, the illustration given here is how difficult it is for a mother to forsake her sucking child. And, well, God is even more than that to us. So if you're ever tempted to think that, where is God? Has he forgotten me? We just need to look at Scripture and understand that God does not forget us. So, what is David's experience? How long will you forget me? But we know that God has not forgotten. God's care for his children is like the sun. It's constant. Even though the clouds obscure the sun sometimes, the sun is still there. So just look at your grief, your losses, as it's just coming between you and the sun. It's just coming between you. It's not taking God away. So we'll continue then with the idea that how do we deal with this grief that seems to come between you and our God? Maybe we could notice yet in verse 2, that he was experiencing this sorrow every day, daily, for quite some time. So I wonder, when, in my experience, when I was daily feeling this, one of the temptations I had was just to chew on it instead of swallowing it, okay? Swallowing it would be like saying that I surrendered to it. I'm finished chewing it. I'm just going to swallow it. And it seems like maybe David was chewing and chewing. And sometimes the encouragement I'd like for us to think about is, in times of grief and loss, sometimes we just have to accept it. Okay? So if you find yourself just day after day after day, view that as just chewing and chewing and chewing. And we just need to accept it. And then he mentions something about how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me. It seems like the laughter of his enemies was sounding louder in his ears than his awareness of the providence and kindness of God. So, yes, our enemy, in times of loss and grief, will like to get as much mileage out of it as he can. And he might come at us loudly with this, how long? So, again, I'll come back to, we need to get into Scripture and read the truth. Find out that God does care. God does love us. So, till the end of the message, I'm hoping there will be two things that will stand out as how do we deal with grief in our lives. One of them is just read Scripture and become acquainted with who God is and fill your mind with that. Ruminating on trouble without an answer of truth just ends up making you bitter. Now, there are, I found, and I heard this from others as well, there's a lot of times two kinds of responses to our grief or our losses, our trouble. Did you ever hear of somebody that just gets real busy? I mean, he's just going to work and avoid thinking about his trouble. That's one. I'd say every road has two ditches, right? I'd say that's one ditch. And the other ditch would be, I'm not motivated to do anything. I'm just going to sit and chew this thing and wallow in the loss. So that's two things I think we need to be aware of. So how do we find relief? Or I'm going to reword that just a little now. How are we going to find that place of rest in God's providence, or what happened to us, our loss, or whatever it is? How are we going to find that place of comfort and rest? And I think in this psalm, we have it now in verses 3 and 4, because he switches from how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? He's studying his fate, you might say, but then he switches to verses 3 and 4. He's praying. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes. Here David is crying out to God. And it's important that he does cry. You know, sometimes I just had to go on a walk and just cry. For me, often it was I just had to get in the car where no one would see me cry and just go for a drive. That's important, but you know what's more important than just crying? It's who you cry to and what the feeling of your heart is. Is it in anger, or is it a broken, submissive, surrendered cry? Yeah, and I'm thinking I'm not telling you people hear anything new. But crying is healthy. It's if it's not in anger. So we see here that David cries to God. He directs his cry to God. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. He's crying and praying for consideration. That is a healthy way to come to God. Please, God, just consider me. Okay? It's not coming to God in anger, but it's coming with, consider me. See what I'm going through. And then he prays that God would lighten mine eyes. So he had heavy eyes. He could hardly see because of the loss or the whatever he was going through. Lighten my eyes and cheer me. I'd like to suggest that if ever we come to God and say, give me joy today, what do you think he'll do? I mean, just keep praying until you get the joy. Yeah. God delights in lifting us up, giving us joy, even in the midst of this fallen world's losses. Yeah, maybe that's all another way of saying when it feels to us like a tidal wave just hit us and rolled over us, don't deny it. I mean, it's awful. It's hurtful. It's a loss. Just cry, but direct your cry to God. Consider me and answer me, he's saying. Now, so sometimes our reaction to calamities and disappointments is just to ask God, turn the lights back on. I mean, he's saying here, lighten mine eyes, give me light. And sometimes we like to do that. There's something terrible happens, it's a great loss, we just want it to be over, right? Not so long. It's like we just want to start praying, God, turn the lights on again. But this is maybe the real test that I see here. So we have hope in Christ, right? We have hope in the future. Like, even if, who was it that said, even if God slay me, wasn't it Job? Even if God slay me, I'll still trust him. Okay? So, we would like to say, yes, God, I accept this calamity, this loss. I trust you, but just turn the lights on. Okay? So we kind of would like for the world sometimes to see that we have something that's really worth living for. We have hope in because of Jesus' resurrection. And when we die, we expect to rise again. And we would like the world to know that. So how do we can tell them, but they don't get it, right? You know one way that they get it is when they see Christians or God's children suffer and stay faithful. Suffer. And just keep on saying that God is good. God is faithful. Oh, that gets non-Christians' attention. That's the point I'm trying to make here. So we might pray, God, just turn the lights on. I've had a year of this. I've had 2 years. We should be praying to remain faithful so that we can be an example and the light to the world. You know, another illustration that I thought of already is, you know, there's some children here that maybe there was a time in your life when mom and dad wanted to put you to bed and it was dark and then they wanted to turn the light off. And maybe the children said, ah, no, just leave the light on or leave that hall light on or something like that. And that's okay if it's a child. But if that child grows to be an adult and is still asking for just leave the light on or don't shut the door, you would start thinking that, well, we need to get to the bottom of this, and we need to trust God, even in the dark times. Okay, could it be that way for us as Christians? We need to sometimes mature to the place where, yes, death is inevitable. God has a plan. Maybe some of us or the church needs to suffer so that the world can look on and see the faithfulness of God's children. So let's look now at verses 5 and 6. And before we do that, let's notice and make sure we catch the point that verses 3 and 4 are like the bridge from the grief, the loss, the disappointment, discouragement. Let's see that verses 3 and 4 are the bridge to what we see in verses 5 and 6. So I see David all in these six verses penning this like he's writing his journal, and he's feeling despair, and then he turns to God in prayer, and then the result is verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I wonder what your questions might be. One of my first ones was, really? So he could sing. So after such loss and grief, maybe not even after, but in such loss and grief, we can sing. What's the bridge? Is it not prayer? And I've found that. I have found, well, sometimes I would say, I don't know how somebody without God in his life can make it through all the deaths and the losses that this world is experiencing. So David went from I feel forgotten and disappointed, my enemies seem to be doing better than me, and it makes me sad and want to cry. He went from that to, I have trusted God. And this is volitional, not emotional. Okay? And do you get the point? We have to decide. I have an uncle that's 93, 94 maybe, and he lost his wife like 20 years ago. And he came to visit me after Lily passed, and he said different times when as he was leaving, he'd say, Alvin, it's just what you make out of it. And I was like, just what you make out of it. But that was some powerful words. It was volitional. You volunteer to trust God. It's not emotional. You don't feel like it. Okay? You have to decide. And then what do? Fill your mind with scripture, the truth, and pray. Connect with him. So this is the lesson. We need to bring our emotions under the jurisdiction of God's character and God's promises and his purposes. The feelings of our heart are real. And David's feelings were real. and he's applying his mind to the matter, but he allowed his mind to be transformed. And that's what we need to do when we are experiencing grief and the tempter wants to discourage us and, yeah, be that cloud between us and God. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our mind. And then we can say, like David in verses 5 and 6, I have trusted, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. God will save us out of the worst grief that a person can have. It's the hope that we have in Christ. And finally, I will sing. I will sing unto the Lord. We have verses, scriptures that talk about that God gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Fill the mind with the truths. And, you know, sometimes it was hard for me to do that. I'd get stuck. I'd kind of get off on one side of the road into the ditch. But that's what the church is for. That's what the brotherhood is for. Rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. And shore each other up and help each other. So we look forward to... Now maybe I'll talk a little about the hope that we have as Christians. We look forward to the new heaven and the new earth, where the storms of life will finally be stilled. And it was William Cooper, he was a great theologian and hymn writer, out of the depths of his own life cried, feeling forsaken, disappointed, and disheartened, he writes, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. For behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. And I always like that picture, that God is like the sun. Never dark. Always there. But there's sometimes a cloud of grief between us, and we need to somehow get through to God by prayer and reading truths. So I'm so grateful that God has left us with encouraging words, his words, about trusting and lasting joy in the Bible. We have them. Joy verses remind me that it's possible to have the joy of the Lord again. So, for the next few minutes, I just want to read some of those scriptures. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good. And chew on that for a while. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. He's very relational. Just, if you have the questions, how long? Just cry to him. But have your prayer be bathed in the truth of Scripture, truths like this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, and then I think verse 16, yeah. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's obviously not the King James Version. I'm not sure what version that was. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. 1 Peter 5:6-7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care, your anxiety, on him, because he cares for you. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 40:28-31, and this is the English Standard Version. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, trials are difficult and can be very painful. But because of God's presence through them all, you truly can count it all joy when you face trials, because it draws you closer to God. And I have yet to find someone that went through a deep grief or even is in a long journey of grief that's trusting God, connecting with God, that does not thank God for his situation. One of my first encounters with something like that was I was a youth and I had a cousin that was on a wheelchair. He was a young man and he had been in the hospital and they had to do surgery on his back. The doctor made maybe a mistake and he was paralyzed now from here down and was on a wheelchair. And I was feeling sorry for him. My father walked up to him, greeted him, and then ended up asking him if he could change anything in life, what would it be? Something like that. And immediately he said, I wouldn't change anything. God is good. And as a youth, that made an impact on me. So what are the anchors for the journey of grief? Well, I think lots of prayer and lots of scripture, just truth, and allow it to transform your mind. Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm to turn to when you're experiencing calamities or grief. There were nights when I had trouble sleeping, and I would just, by memory, just quote Psalm 23, Psalm 23. And the time came when I knew something was happening, because I'd wake up the next morning and say, oh, I only got halfway through. So I began to change. So lots of prayer, and fill your mind with the truths of God and Scripture. I don't know how to make it more simple. It'll work. It's a tremendous blessing to be able to sing again. Surrender is another word I would say that just brings peace. If you can surrender anything, your will, just surrender to God, that always brings peace. So I'd like to read this one song that has meant a lot to me. And I don't know if maybe some of you recognize the song. It's by Laura, and the title of the song is Blessings. We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us. Yet you love us way too much to give us lesser things. Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know that God's near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. All the while, you hear each desperate plea and long that we'd have faith to believe. When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? I don't know when to close, because there's just so much more that could be said. I just hope that we're encouraged that grief is something that we can expect, but there is a way to have the cloud of grief removed. Sometimes it takes some time, but it's just through lots of prayer and filling your minds with the truth of God. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint. We all look forward to that in our Christian life. Do we kneel in prayer? Shall we kneel in prayer?